This is CliffCentral.com.
Whoa. What is up, everybody? It is Thursday and you are live with the Millennial Gen Show. Excuse me. I was about to say the Millennial Gen Team, but it's just me today, yet again. But don't stress. We still have more heat, more fire. We've got an incredible producer here talking about his career and the dope horror movie that's coming out soon. We've got a singer with some pipes that you cannot believe. And we have some more of the homies from the internet wave. So without ado, how about we jump in with our first guest? Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming in. It's a pleasure to have you here. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell the people who you are.
Thank you for having me. My name is Dumi Gumbi, local film producer based here in Johannesburg.
Yeah. Wow. And we're very happy to have you because we met up with you at the Broke Ass Showcase and we saw a snippet of your movie, which we're going to talk about right now. And I have to say, that snippet scared me. That thing had my leg shaking. It was so creepy. All right, so the movie that we are talking about is called The Tokoloshe, and it comes out tomorrow, correct?
Comes out tomorrow, nationwide, across both State Kiniko and New Metro Cinemas. If you go to our social media pages, all the different theaters that it's screening at, we've put up on our social media pages.
That's really cool. So now tell us, what is some of the significance of this movie?
Well, I mean, this film probably came across my inbox about 2014. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine who also is part of the industry, but she's more sort of like on the financial side of things. She sent me the script. I read it. And you usually pretty much can tell if it's a good script if you can read it from beginning to end without really being distracted by other things.
Yeah.
So I probably read it for in an hour and a half. And also that's critical because if you read a script in 90 minutes, it pretty much tells you that, like, that's how long the running time is.
Yeah.
Because everything is happening. It's action.
Yeah.
It's happening in real time. So, and I immediately wanted to get involved with it. The guys who were writing it, Jerome and Richard, they'd been probably working on the film for 4 or 5 years before that.
Okay.
So we quickly snapped it up. And what I really liked about it was a different kind of horror film. You know, I went to film school in America, so I took my film studies very seriously. So I didn't really think I was going to be doing genre films. Mm. When I was at film school, so horror is something that I had never really considered.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a very poignant script. It was very cerebral.
Yeah.
And it wasn't your typical sort of like slasher, blood and gore.
Yeah.
Horror. So like that's what drew me to it. And then we basically then helped Richard and Jerome, who is also the director. His first feature film.
Hmm.
So like, yeah, we just basically got stuck in and got it made. I mean, the film, what I mean by cerebral is it's more psychological than a horror. So it's sort of like you have your horror genre, then you have different sub-genres within that main genre. So like this one is more psychological thriller horror.
Sure.
So it's more like what's really happening with our lead actor, our lead character, Boosie. You know, when the film starts, she's just come from the rural KZN village, running away from her family, leaving her sister behind and her parents. And then it's about her getting into Joburg and getting a job. And she gets a job as a night shift janitor at this sort of like old rundown hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to basically have those horror themes within the film, even though it's not sort of like your typical horror.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. That's the type of genre I like, because I mean, in terms of horror movies, slashers are they're entertaining, but you lose something in all of that kind of that goriness, you know?
Yeah, correct.
So I really appreciate that, and I'm definitely going to go and check this thing out tomorrow. And I would advise all of my listeners to do the same thing. So let's talk about you for a little bit. So you said you went to film school in America. What film school did you go to? Which film school did you go to?
I went to a film school called the School of Museum of Fine Arts, which is affiliated with Tufts University.
Okay.
That's in Boston. So School of Museum of Fine Arts, there's a Museum of Fine Arts, so that's the affiliation. So it was more so of an artistic film school because obviously of the fine art angle. So yeah, I went there, enjoyed it, had a lot of fun. The weekend started on Wednesdays,
as it is with most universities.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, and it was a very weird school because we used to have block sessions.
Yeah.
The classes started from 9 till 12, and then from 12 to 1 we'll have lunch, and then from 2 to 5. So we're sort of like already a working type environment.
Yeah.
So like that kind of 9 to 5 vibe. So like yeah, so it was cool, and you know you could sort of like saunter in at 10 or 11. You know, we didn't really
perfect
have
time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, perfect time for us to be in college and have fun, and that was great. It was like, you know, living in a big city like Boston, you want to explore as well, you know. So yeah, it was good.
I can imagine. So what made you choose America over South Africa? I'm assuming that the opportunities weren't as great, yeah.
Well, I'm old, so I might not look it, but I'm old. You know? So you know, when my dad went over there, I pleaded and begged that I come along with him. So I went with him, you know, and you know, it wasn't that I chose. It was sort of like the circumstances that I found myself in. So okay. I went there, I finished high school there, then I went to college, and I went to film school.
Okay, so this was in Boston.
Yeah.
So how long did you live in Boston for?
For 9 years.
9 years. That's a nice time to be in America. We actually have someone new in the booth. So hi, how are you doing?
How are you?
Good, thank you. Do you mind just speaking directly into the mic so we can hear you nice and clearly?
Yes, the lead actor, the star of the film has decided to join us.
Hi, thank you so much for finally joining us.
I am so sorry.
It is no problem at all. We are just happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. So why don't you introduce yourself to the people?
Okay, so I am Petronella Nontsikelelo Tshuma.
Sure. Hi, yes. Petronella.
You know it's serious, right? When you're the full name.
Yo.
Yes, we have to.
Yo, I wasn't expecting that. So you are the lead actress from the film, am I correct?
Yes.
So tell us a bit about the experience of this movie. What was it like making this movie?
It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. I mean, I don't think it's an easy genre to tell. It was definitely not an easy character to play. So I think like a lot of the times my experience on set was actually dark, because that's the world I had to be in.
Yeah.
So whether we were taking or not, it was just like I had to be in a zone,
that mindset,
in order for me to be truthful.
Yeah.
So it wasn't easy. So I think
You basically had to stay away from it.
Exactly. And a lot of like the crew people probably thought Ben Klein, because hands are my exercise things like that. Like I had to go into a world that I myself was not familiar with.
But I mean, that means that you must have given a truly authentic performance.
I wanted to.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
I can't wait, and I hope you really enjoy it.
Why don't you tell us a bit about your character? This person that you had to live in this mind for so long. Tell us a bit about them.
So, Obusisiwe, I mean, for me, is this rural girl who's from a village. It can be any village in South Africa. And having gone through what she's gone through and her past, she tries to escape, and everyone tries to go to the city of gold, which is Joburg.
Yes.
And a lot of like you know, when we try and run away from a lot of the monsters from our past, we end up actually attracting the same monsters
That's
in our presence
true.
Until we actually deal with the problem itself. So therefore, running away from that, she actually finds it in Joburg as well, which for her to actually finally get to the root is for her to go back home. and actually deal with this monster.
Wow. This sounds so tense, guys. I'm getting chills. It's getting so cold in this booth. Oh,
no,
my goodness.
This booth
goodness.
Is cold.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to, this is directed at both of you, but we can start with you. What would you say one of the biggest challenges that you faced while making this movie come to light was?
Well, I mean, it was, I mean, it's probably one of the few films that it wasn't really that difficult to actually get the financing for. It wasn't really that difficult. I think it was really about getting through the production phase, you know, because this film deals with a very heavy subject matter, you know, and I think people will, when they go to watch the film or if they see the reviews that have been done already on the film, because this film has already been in 11 film festivals across
Jeez.
The world. You know, so people have been writing. People have been writing about it. So the film has gone from South Korea, that's where it had its world premiere, to London at Fright Fest, to a number of film festivals across Europe.
My brother was actually at Fright Fest. I'll ask him if he saw it there.
Yeah, you must ask him. And actually, at Fright Fest, actually, it received quite a lot of good reviews from serious horror fanatics as well as critics.
So
the film, I think as Petronella said, I think the production part, as it usually is, you know, you spend 4 to 5 or 6 weeks on set, you're dealing with weird personalities because the film industry is full of them, and because of also like limitations on the budget, you know, you have big ideas when it comes to some of the stunts that you want to do, but then you sort of like, when you get to the actual production part of it, it's then about trying to creatively convey what's on the script. So I think the post-production, because it involves a lot of visual effects, there's a 3D monster in the film. Yes, there's a 3D CGI fully fledged monster.
I think we saw some of the clothes of it in that snippet.
Yeah, exactly. So like if you look at the poster, that's actually the monster that you see in the film. So like that was challenging in itself, and I think we really wanted to spend time making sure that the monster looked as good as what Hollywood is producing.
Jeez, that's really cool. Like this is a great production. So I remember you said that it's been all over the world in all of these places. So what made you start like do the premiere in Asia, not here? Is it just because the horror markets are more accepting there, or?
Yes, it was very strategic. Because what happened was, and I'm not supposed to speak about this, but I will in any case. So there's a big horror festival in Montreal called Fantasia. Mm-hmm. They wanted the film for the world premiere status, and BFAN in South Korea also wanted the film. Mm-hmm. And the festivals run basically around similar dates, so we had to choose one
or the other.
We wanted to be at both, but like we finally chose South Korea because, as you said, horror is much more celebrated in that part of the world. So it was a strategic business decision for us to actually do that. To be like, okay, we're gonna launch it in South Korea. So funny enough, that strategy has worked because the film opens tomorrow here in South Africa, and then a week later it actually opens in Vietnam, and then we've sold the film to probably 4, 5, or 6 other Southeast Asian territories. So Indonesia, Malaysia, Vietnam, and I'm forgetting the other ones. I'm sure I'll remember.
Jeez, that's amazing.
So like, that's what we wanted to do. Mm. So it wasn't sort of like horror in traditionally in the South African market don't do well.
Yeah.
Right. So we've always looked at this film as an international film. So that's why we came up with a festival strategy that sort of like goes around the world first, and then we release the film at home.
That's cool. I think that's smart though, because I mean, one thing about South Africans is they seem to be more accepting of things when they come from elsewhere, even if it was made here, you know, like case in point with what you're talking about. If you had launched it here, it probably wouldn't have been as well received, even though it's shot here, it's filmed here, it includes characters from here. But you know, so I think there's a bit of a way that South African respect for the genre you guys are in needs to go a long way before we can do stuff like releasing it here.
Yeah.
Even beyond the genre, I think just accepting and being just receiving our films, our storytelling. We shouldn't wait for because America likes it. We should
like it.
You know what I mean? We should make a trend here.
Right?
Yes.
I like that. I like that. Okay, so Petronella, you are an actress full time. Is that is that your hustle? Tell me about that hustle. What got you into being an actress besides this incredible talent that I've heard so much about?
Oh wow, thanks. I really like I don't know. I feel like it was something that called me, you know? I started performing when I was 7 years old. In church and in school, and it was just the one place I loved being was stage, and I loved performing because I had all this energy, and I was a very naughty child, like stout. I was always getting reprimanded. I was raised in Yeovil, Hillbrow. I was always on the streets. I was always in the parks. So I was just that kid, and when I was on stage, it was wow.
Yeah.
I brought certain reactions. I loved how the crowd would react.
Mm.
Whether I'd made them smile or laugh or whatever it was, I really
just
and
that
the, yeah, and I just loved the energy. And you know, when I was young, Ukoko was like, you know, back then it was a ritual in every home.
Mm-hmm.
Or Miss South Africa or Miss World, and really, like, my grandmother thought I was gonna be skinny and tall, and I was gonna be Miss South Africa one day. I was like, not a chance. I was a tomboy, and the acting bug was the one. So from age of 7, it was like, okay, I want to do this. And since then, it's like, it's just what I pursued in school, and I've been hustling for.
And that's how you gotta do it.
And she's really good in this film, you know. I first saw Petronella in Of Good Report. She was fantastic in that film, and I thought, wow, it should be very nice to actually work with her to one day. And then with this film, the opportunity came. Actually, there's a bit of a story there. We were doing Skype calls, Skype video calls, but she was in London when we said when we approached her to be in this film.
Ooh. I was just like, me? You're gonna give me a call? You know what I mean? But it's the trust where it's. You know, they always say your last performance is your best performance. Mm-hmm. So it's like for us, if just the same way with this film, I wanted this film to really do well.
Yeah.
And I really, you know what? You want to deliver. You want to give your best.
Yeah.
To be honest. And so, and that's what I tried to do. I did something in this film where I'd watched other veterans. I've worked with big actors. And they always say you come into a scene prepared.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that was. Because I would literally... children green rooming, so okay, I'm about to go and say, okay, time to get into character now. And I always failed. And some of the work that I've done, because I feel like set has been school, some of the work that I've done, you can see, this is rubbish right here, where I was not prepared. I wasn't feeling it, I wasn't prepared. And I knew what was on, like, I just... for myself, I knew what I wanted to bring. I didn't want to let the producers down, Dumi and Kati and Jerome, the director, for trusting me and saying, listen, we trust you. And I, at first, because I'd come in and we hadn't had 2 weeks of rehearsals, and my director was like, I could tell there were moments where he wasn't sure. He was like, is this because we didn't have enough time to spend? And then when I asked, I was like, trust me. I know exactly what you want. I know this. I know Busisiwe. I've got her. And then when the cameras rolled on the first day, I was like, he was shocked. He was like,
you brought it. You came to like, set prepared.
I was like, no, I had to find her within me. We, you know, it's a journey. And it's just about knowing the stakes.
You know, I think what was great about working with Petronella was also like she brought something to the film. You know, this script called that this character had a dog. You know, was a dog, right?
Yeah, it was a dog.
And then she came up with something where she was like, yeah, but would this character actually have a dog? You know, so we actually scrapped that. You know, and that's what we like, and that's why film is great like that, right? You know, you can be a fine artist and a painter or a printmaker or a sculptor. You know, you go out and you work on your own, whereas with the film it's very collaborative. You know, and also we like working with actors that bring something of themselves into a project, not just like, oh, here's a script, cool, let's go and do it. So like, you know, that, and also like there was a very integral part of actually saying, is it true that this character will actually have a pet, because their own financial well-being isn't really there. You know, so like it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, so really just showcased her understanding of the character, her embodiment of the character, which is amazing.
Mm.
So, I mean, you kind of mentioned how you guys found each other.
Yes.
You said you saw her in a movie.
Yes.
So what are some of the other films, or not films, but some of the other projects you've been involved in?
Well, just a couple of them.
Just but a few.
As you know, we've been doing this.
She does the shoulder off. All right, girl.
All right, because this is my fifth film.
Ooh.
And, yeah, Shem. No, man. It's just, this is my fifth film. You know, I've worked on quite a few South African television shows and stuff. Currently, I'm on Rhythm City on ETV. You know, so.
Oh!
Now the penny drops.
I'm sure.
No, because I also have my best friend on another ETV show, so everyone's like, you guys look alike. I'm like, no, that's my best friend.
That's cool. So what's one of your, actually, okay, let's ask you the same question. Mm. What are some of the other projects you have been involved in? Or some of your favorites?
Oh, man.
Since I'm
this
sure
is,
countless.
This is my eighth film. This is the sixth film we're releasing as a company.
Mm-hmm.
The other two, should I remain nameless, was they're terrible. yes, it does happen. I would say, you know, this film, you know, it's for us, it's always about the latest project. You know, the other projects have come and gone. Mrs. Right Guy has probably been the most financially successful we've done. As a business, because of what it did locally, it went out to Nigeria, it went out to Ghana, it went out to Kenya. It's probably the first South African film that was released pan-Africanly, and it's like in Nigeria, it actually stayed on for like 5 weeks. It was in the top five.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good success story. You know, probably one of the few films locally that actually made a profit and actually paid back its investors, and even the producers worked away with some decent money.
Ooh.
And it launched a few careers. I would like to think, you know, people like Tano Tabete and Dineo Moketsi got to be in a film for the first time. Somebody like Lahasa Moloi, big hunky guy, you know. So like, yeah, that probably was very successful. You know, in other films. You know, we did Love by Chance last year, which was a film that we shot in Atlanta. It was an experiment using local actors. Atando Akani is in it. So that was before the big Black Panther.
Before he got too big for all of us. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It doesn't return my emails anymore. but that was good. It was like there was an experiment where we took South African actors. In a film that was shot entirely in Atlanta. Then we did the post production here. Also, that film is now streaming live in the US on UMC. And then it's opened up other possibilities and other potential projects that we will be revealing fairly soon.
In due time,
probably early next year. Shooting another film in Atlanta, and maybe Petronella will come and play with us.
Ooh.
But even though. She doesn't do fluff, you know. She does serious things, you know.
No, we're over with this.
Oh, okay.
I've been
oh,
saying
good.
This.
Well,
you
heard it here first, guys. Yeah.
Right.
So what we want to do with that film is have some of our best local talent working with some of the American talent.
Yes.
And then
I like that. That sounds really cool.
Yeah. And this film we're gonna have big R&B. American singers trying to be actors.
Okay, I like it. We wait with bated breath, and you guys are always welcome here again. Thank you so much for coming. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Just in closing, could you guys just say a few things to inspire anybody listening who wants to be where you guys are? You know, just a few things, just like something to just for them to take home and go through in their head over
work
and over
hard
again.
And go to school.
I like it.
I second that, and I think a lot of people think what we do is magical. It's not. It's hard work.
Mm.
And it's just about getting up every day and showing up. So people must show up, get the job done. What we do is, it looks glamorous, but it's not.
Mm.
There's a lot of lull periods where like we're not really doing much, and you gotta be relentless and you gotta persevere. That's the biggest thing in this business. And I think in our next project we're gonna try to do something different in how we document the process, so that we can demystify the process for a lot of people out there.
Okay, sure, guys, thank you so much for coming in. It was such a pleasure having you. This was so much fun. You guys are incredible. I'm definitely going to go and check out their movie tomorrow. And I would advise every single person listening to this to go and do the same.
Yeah, please support local films.
Support local. The Tokoloshi coming out 2nd of November nationwide at New Metro and Stoke Kinnecore. Yes. Guys, one more time, thank you so much. You want to tell them your social media handle so they can find you, see what you're up to? Hey, you know, gotta let them know.
Well, I mean, it's just Petronella_Chuma on Instagram. And I think it's the same on Twitter.
Okay.
For Twitter, at Tokoloshi Film. For Facebook, just Facebook / The Tokoloshi. And then for Instagram, The Tokoloshi. So, you can find us there. And all the details where the film is screening are all been posted.
Perfect. Guys, one more time, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. We look forward to your guys' greatness and everything else that's going to come, especially that movie from ATL.
Yes.
I'm excited. All right, anyways, people, don't go anywhere. I'm going to play a quick song for y'all, and then we will be back with another guest. We'll be back now. Right, y'all. Hey. Oh, sure. Sorry, that's a little bit loud. What's up, y'all? So, shout out to our previous guests. Thank you so much for coming through. That was so much fun. All of y'all must go and check out that movie. But we're going to switch it up a little bit because we got a new guest. Hey, say what's up to the people.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. We're so happy to have you here. Okay, side note, before you say your name, guys, this girl can fucking sing like you cannot believe. Oh my lord. Woo! Woo! Okay, now tell the people who you are.
The girl who can sing.
Hey, girl who can sing.
My name is Lissel Slade. I'm a singer-songwriter and Yeah.
Where are you from, Lissel Slade?
I'm from Kimberley. Okay. All the way from the Northern Cape.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I see.
How long I'm based here now.
How long have you been in Joe Breezy for?
Let's not talk about it. It's been too long. I'm a little embarrassed.
I love Joburg, man. Born it, but obviously because I'm from here.
You're from here.
So I'm a little bit biased. But I mean,
I get it.
Joburg's cool. Joburg's fun.
Joburg is fun. It definitely is fun. When you're rich. When you're still trying to figure it out, you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, hey, you're right there. Hey, these North kids are just, they're so hard to keep up with. It's not even worth.
Which side of Johannesburg are you from?
As it happens, I'm also a North kid.
I was about to say.
Not like that though. Not like those ones.
There are levels to the North.
There's too many levels.
Okay, I wouldn't know.
My elevator doesn't even go that high. That's what's up.
Your elevator. The fact that you're saying your elevator. While we're rocking two series, your feet.
What do you mean though? An elevator is just in a building. Any building can have an elevator.
Okay, not the elevator from the kitchen to your room.
No.
It's a different situation.
We haven't installed that elevator just yet, so we're getting there. Nah, I'm playing, y'all. Okay, so tell us about the singer-songwriter thing. How long have you been doing it for?
Ooh, since I actually graduated from AFTA. So since then, I feel like I'm giving away my age. I think 3 years now. Oh, my friend's like giving me the side eye. She's like, girl, are you older than that? Or am I? No, yeah,
Do you want to divulge your age?
Maybe? I mean, I'm turning 25 next week.
You don't look. First of all, happy birthday for next week.
You don't even
look like you're close to 25.
That's
girl.
Awesome.
Black don't crack. You're going to be fine, girl. Shit, you're going to be all right.
Definitely. But since I left school, because that's what I decided to do, I decided to take on music full time. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Okay, so now my next question is, tell us about some of your musical inspirations. Some of the people who inspire you to do what you do.
Currently, people who are like, not to say relevant, but sort of the people who are at the forefront right now. I'd say your SZA's, Cardi. Why did I say Cardi? No, I'm not a rapper. SZA, Kehlani. really, that's my vibe right now. But in the past, there was a lot of R&B, like a lot of old school, like Brandy, Monica, and then your Beyoncé's came along, and Rihanna, because I love her tone, so different.
Yeah, I mean, the girl Riri, who doesn't love Riri, you know?
Come on, if you do, you're a straight up hater, because you could find something to like.
Dude, honestly, but do you know what we're going to do? I would really love for you to sing for us, because I can't wait anymore.
Yeah.
And I know these people can't. All right. So I've got all your stuff loaded up right here.
I'm going to let's see which one you have.
Okay. I got all of them. I've got Tito Mboweni. I've got What You Think About That. What You Think About That. Mm-hmm. And I've got Why Tat. How do I? Wyatt?
It's actually just the abbreviation for What You Think About That. So that W-Y-T-A-T is what you'd play, because that's the instrumental.
Okay, so you ready, girl?
You're on the spot.
Are you ready? I mean, but like, I warned you beforehand, though.
Yeah, but
so
like,
it's not like on the
spot.
This is the spot. So I'm going to turn your mic up. I'm going to turn this bed music down a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hit play. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm going to have to be ready.
Are you in the zone? Do you need a moment to just woo, sir? Take a deep breath. Actually, do you know what? I saw you perform.
Yeah.
So you honestly have nothing to be worried about.
Just we need to get the levels right. I think you should play it.
Girl, don't worry about it, man.
It's not a player.
These are my dicks, man. All right, let's go.
Just turn it up for me.
How's that?
Better.
Okay, the stage is yours.
I know that I could act a lot better. Got a mean attitude, but I don't mean it. Always let me keep my way. Everybody say, man, you get it. Why don't we break? Stuck by it, stuck to the end. If we never loved, would you ever feel whole and alone? Don't mind the drop top you if you get there. Let me see ambition in your actions. If you never ever knew what this would be like, I want you to keep watch life get better. So tell me if you wanna ride. So tell me if you feel the vibe. Cause it could get better. You know it gets better. It could get better.
That's what I have for now. It's just so impromptu. I was like,
"Ooh, girl, that was something special." Thank you, for. Why are you looking at me like that? You know you killed it. What do you mean? What's the look about? So, thank you. Tell us a bit about that song. Tell us a bit about the process for coming up with that song.
This is actually an acoustic version of it. So the other version that you have, there's the actual like official single.
Mm-hmm.
It's called What You Think About That. And that's what we're pushing right now. It's just like a song about completely being unapologetic, asking for what you want. It's basically a girl just asking her the dude she likes. Like, are we going to make this official or not? Like, what do you think about that?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. All right. And how long did it take you to... write, produce the song? Did you produce the beat yourself?
No. Sticks did. It took... how long did it take us? I think it took us a few days, because he just had a part or a snippet of it. And I was like, I've got the hook. I figured out the hook and I came back. And what are you drinking? I am dead.
Wine, dog.
I'm dead.
I'm drinking wine. Real nigga shit. Gang,
thirsty
gang.
Thursday.
What's up? Damn straight. You know how it is.
Woo! Okay.
No, it's because the show is... it used to be on a Friday. So now, in my mind, I've been conditioned to know that when I have the show, something fun is probably going to happen afterwards. So, usually, I prepare... during.
Well,
before.
You're just setting yourself up for the
yeah,
for
also,
the rest of the day.
And I feel like I'm sounding a bit like an alcoholic. That's not the case. I just drink on occasion.
I don't want to put it
but
out.
But we digress.
We're talking
about some music, girl.
That wine box caught me off guard.
I'll admit, the box is a bit ratchet because you're not allowed glass in the studio. So I was like, rough meat heart.
Substitute.
Right?
Okay. So yeah, that single is out. You can get it on iTunes, SoundCloud, everywhere. Yeah.
Okay. And now, How many other songs have you released? How many other singles, EPs, things
so
like that?
So we released a free track a week before this single came out. And then we released a freestyle. That's three. I haven't really put out everything that I wanted to put out. I'm waiting. It'll probably come out next year because I have an EP coming out. So all of that should be on there. But I've done a few collaborations thus far.
Like with who?
With Stogie T and Black Liz. So check out Stogie's mixtape, Honey and Pain. Check out Black Liz's album, Baby Brother. And then there's a few other things. I think Bergie Fresh is dropping his project on Friday, and I'm on that. And then DB, this rapper DB, is dropping a track on Monday, and I'm on that.
Damn. So you're all over the place.
I'm just trying to do as much as I possibly can.
I like that, because you have the talent, so you definitely must. And all for all those people, I hope they recorded your performance at the Broadcast Show.
Yeah, they did. Right. They did.
People, you must go and check that shit out.
Yeah.
Yo.
It was fun. It was fun.
That was... I was mesmerized. Some of the other people, they were good. There were some great performers there. But I was blown away. Me and Ade, I was even trying to call him now because he couldn't be here. But he said he wanted to talk to you so badly.
Yeah.
Because, yo, we were just blown away by your talent, girl.
Thank you.
So tell me, when did you realize that you could actually sing like this?
So sing like this is relative because to me, it's normal. But when did I realize that it... Maybe some people thought it was a little different or special. From a young age, actually. Isn't like preschool weird?
Preschool.
Weird.
Who can sing in preschool?
It's really weird. You know when you have the concerts and they make you stand in front?
Sure.
And you have to sing and you have to do the lead.
Damn.
It was in, cute.
That's the definition of a God-given gift. God damn.
No, honestly. For real. I can't take credit for it. It's just something that is greater than me, definitely.
Damn. So who are some of the best people that you've worked with? I remember you mentioned a lot of cool big people just
the best.
Now. Like you name dropped F. Like, fuck. Dude. So who are some of the best people you've worked with? No, you don't need to throw shade, but like if you want to, go off.
It's a lot. You know who's super nice because they've like given me a few opportunities. It was definitely like DJ Zintle. She's super nice, and I worked with her. And it was just—it's always nice to see like these big artists who are, to me, at their top, at the top of their game, allowing you to be like they respect you as much as I feel like people respect you as much as you respect yourself.
Yeah.
So if you take yourself seriously, being in a room with like a Stogie T and they allow you to be you, it's because like you bring something to the table.
Damn straight. Bars.
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam. That was
even
deep.
Like Les, everyone is super dope, but I really like working with my producer Sticks. Like I feel like we push the boundaries all the time. Super talented. And I think over the past 3 years that we've worked together, like the growth has been incredible. That's like my favorite person to work with.
Oh, for real. So now this other song that I have here, Tito Mboweni. Is that why the deep sigh? Was that also produced by Styx?
That was not. That's actually a cover.
Of?
Of the actual, Tito Mboweni.
Oh shit.
I thought let me do the one song and do like a cover. Because so, I did that a while ago.
How do you feel about it? Do you want the people to hear it?
I actually would love for you to play the actual What You Think About That, you know?
Okay, let's do that.
I would love that.
Okay, we'll do that, and then we'll
and we
be
can
right
actually,
back.
Yeah.
And then we can what?
We could pull up the cover I did online, actually.
Okay, all right.
Cool, too.
The cover of what? Tito Mboweni?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually right here already, but let's start with What You Think About That, right?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, girl. Oh, come on, man. I'm ready. I told you this was not great.
I had to redo it.
Okay, so we have Lucille Slade with What You Think About That, the radio edition. Enjoy, people.
Radio single. Get it.
Think about that. you think about that? I know that I could act a lot better. Got a mean attitude, but I don't mean it. Always let me get my way. Everybody say, man, you get it. Oh, why don't we break? Stuck by it, stuck to the end. If we never loved, who would you ever feel whole alone? Don't mind the drop top, use to get there. Let me see, I'm fishing in your actions. You never ever knew what this would be like. I want you to keep on watching life get better. So don't tell me, just tell me if you wanna ride. So tell me if you feel the vibe. All my love, baby, I will gladly do what you ask of me. So tell me if you write it too. Clyde and Bonnie never thought that we would get this close. So what you think about that? So what you think about that? So what you think about that?
Oh my goodness, god damn. Sorry, that jazz always comes in so hot. Sure, dude. Now, anyone who didn't believe me that this female is disgustingly talented, you are eating your words right now.
I stopped listening at disgusting. I was like, huh? I'm like, talented. I'm like, whoo.
No, like, top floor talent, girl. Okay, so I actually just asked you this off air, but I want to ask you again. So my mom always says this thing, what is your big audacious goal? Shout out, mama. I love you. What is your big audacious goal?
It was pretty simple, like to be the biggest female artist in South Africa. I think for like maybe a solid 2 years running, and then we take on Africa.
Okay.
I think that the world is definitely looking at Africa. You don't necessarily need to leave.
The thing is, you
will automatically like leave as your career starts to elevate and you move into different territories. But I do think that focusing on your continent.
Exactly.
It's a sure way to get to the rest of the world.
Exactly. And Africa has, I think, something weird. Like the eight biggest, okay, maybe eight is a bit drastic, but the six biggest emerging economies in the world are in Africa.
So what's happening with
Africa,
our recession?
Africa is the place. Africa is open for business, for real, for real. And I like that you actually mentioned that you don't need to go to your Americas, to your Londons to be a big star. You just need to have fucking talent, and you need to back yourself, and you need to put in the hours. You need to get to 10,000 hours, and then you're through. You know? Why the sigh?
Because it takes a bit more than talent. It takes a lot more than talent.
Talent and hard work. That's, you know, it needs, you know, like
a combination, but also it's really important to have a team. Like a good team. As an artist, I think you can only do so much for yourself. We see it all the time. Like the reason why some artists just don't reach their full potential, and a fear of mine is like when you don't have the right team to help you with your PR, your marketing, the right team to get you on certain stages, like booking agents. It's not just a one man show, and it's like when people sit down for interviews and it's all about me, you tend to forget that an artist actually has like a lot more moving parts. So when you sit down, you're actually not representing yourself, you're representing a team of people who believe in a dream that ultimately is yours, but it's a bit bigger than you.
Damn. Bars. You say you're not a rapper. Like, you could be a rapper. The bars you've been spitting, dude. And actually, I have a couple of artists that I'd love to put you in touch with. Because, like I said, I back your talent, girl. For real.
Are they dope?
Yes, they are. They're dope. I actually already told the Big Hash about you. I don't know if you...
I've met the Big Hash. Styx is somebody who produces for him as
so,
well.
Like, also, that whole Internet Wave team. Now, actually,
I love them. They're super cool.
Some of them were actually supposed to be there because I was talking to 808 about you. He said he's already heard of you. So, like, girl.
Let's do it. Let's take over the internet.
And we also, so what we're trying to do, what we're trying to start here is this thing called Millennial Sessions. And you know NPR Tiny Desk Concerts?
Oh, yes. I love.
That's what we're trying to do here. Mm. And girl, we need to have you there for real. Especially live bands. Mm-hmm. You know,
speaking my language.
Yes, but we'll definitely be in touch about all of that stuff. Wow, dude, you literally blew me away today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Please inspire the people. Anyone, although you already have, but anyone who wants to be where you are, because like as I'm sure you know, our audience is pretty much our age.
Yeah,
it's young people. It's people who are still fighting the good fight, still trying to find out who they are and where they fit in this world. So at the end of every show, I always ask our guests, say something to inspire those people, because you never know what you'll say that could have a domino effect and change someone's life, you know? So drop some bars for us, girl.
Well, I'd say just keep at it. Like, don't stop. And don't stop on someone else's accord. If someone's saying, yo, I don't really like what you're doing, you could listen to that and take that as a, okay, maybe I need to do a bit better, but don't take that as a, I need to stop completely. Mm. Nobody knows what your dreams are but you. And you're the only one who can see how big they are and how possible they are. Don't let the discouragements completely knock you down. Mm-hmm. Like, knock you down for a day, take a day out, cry if you need to, feel super bad, but tomorrow you wake up and you try again.
Yeah.
Because nobody's trying to look back and be 35 and go, ugh, I should have taken that opportunity when I was 25. I should have just put my music out. And also, no one knows that you exist until you put your stuff out there.
Bars.
So you and your mom knowing that you're mad dope, that doesn't help your career. Take a little video. Your phone is your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the quality is not that great.
Man.
Dude. And don't listen to people who are like, oh, what if they don't like it? Okay, if they don't like it, then we figure out something that speaks to you, and you get better as you continue.
Yeah.
Like,
dude,
Rome wasn't built in a day.
Just dropping all the bars, dude. Like, you are so right. You're very, very right. You have to take your life into our own hands. And one thing I think about our generation is that all of us at a young age, well, I definitely see this amongst my friends, like, we're almost old souls. Like, we're definitely urgent to get things going. So I think a lot of us aren't going to be in that predicament where we're 35 looking back on if I wish we did it now, you know. Like, I'm 23, he's 23, and we're already starting our own things, you know. You're turning 24 and
a girl is 24 and you'll be 25.
You've worked with some of the biggest names in the industry already.
Yeah.
And like, you haven't even released your own EP, dude. So like, the world is your oyster.
Just be patient with yourself.
It's your
oyster.
Is that Instagram live or just videos?
Because this is my vlog. I'm trying to vlog.
Yeah, everyone on that vlog, the world is yours. Take it. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Like, this was so much fun. I really had a blast. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you on social media?
It's Lucille Slade on all platforms. So LuciLleSlade. Real name, real surname. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. Everywhere.
Damn.
You can find music. Find me.
Oh, all right, guys. Sure. Wow, I had so much fun this week. Catch us back here next week. We're gonna have more beautiful
people
with
the box wine.
Yeah, maybe not next week. I think I'm gonna be a bit more classy next week. Maybe I'll bring
no, drink wine because it's my birthday. Have wine next week.
I will do that. I'll definitely do that. All right, y'all. So one more time from the Millennial Gen team, which is just me today. Thank y'all for me, Kani Palmer. I wish every single one of you love, light, happiness, and just a spectacular weekend and further, yo. Love you all. I've got a dope song for y'all. It's called Wish You Were Here. And y'all, we are out.
This is CliffCentral.com.